Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. You've got old Chuckles over here, Ben Vanell.
I forgot that our intro was Good Morning Video Games.
It's one of those things where it just becomes muscle memory And you just say it without thinking. And then every now and then I catch myself and go, this is ridiculous. This is a silly way to begin an entertainment program. Also with us, as always, we have the third of the show, Adam Knox.
Guten Morgen, Videogamers.
Oh, nice.
That's for our German listener.
Mm-hmm. Ich bin ein Ethics in Journalism.
That means I'm a jam donut.
Noxie, what do you got? You got any news? Oh, I've got news. Ben and I...
Why ask me then?
Hey, I got news for you.
Hey, did you...
Tommy's got news.
What did you do today? I did something great today.
Well, I wanted to say this quickly. Ben and I were out the front of your house last
night. I knew this was going to be the first
And
thing.
I don't know about you, Ben, but I felt like we were as close as we've ever been to getting inside.
I think after Nox left, you said to me, it feels like he kind of wanted us to come in.
Yeah, you were like, no, you're not coming in. And then you got out of the car. But then you just kind of like stood in your driveway with this where you just kind of, you just wanted us to take control of the situation.
Yes. No, you were thinking the exact opposite. I said no. And then I stood there making sure you weren't going to pounce me.
Oh, nice. Okay. I misread that.
You were prepared for us. You were going to, you were going to tackle us.
Well, because you drove me home, which was very nice.
Yes.
And then.
Good of you to say it now. Yes.
Then Tommy said, oh, can we come in? But you said it with a tone that I knew you were going to make fun of everything.
I just genuinely want to see inside your house.
Yeah, but there was a tone to it where, like, you were just going to go, oh, so you've got a toilet, do you?
No.
Take a bunch of shits, do you?
Well, you've seen where I live. You've seen the fact that I live in a house.
We're there right now.
Yeah, that has a toilet behind a curtain. So, I mean, no, this is the thing. You're overthinking it. It doesn't matter what kind of squalor you're in. I'm not going to be able to throw stones at it.
Well, I think the tone that was bubbling through was the excitement that it might happen.
Yes.
It was a cheeky enthusiasm.
I honestly felt a little dizzy.
Yeah.
I just didn't want you to come in and see my big order of 6 million dildos. I mean nothing. I mean I ordered nothing.
Oh, we got him finally.
As we drove off, I feel like the handful of times that that Ben has given Adam and I lived home, we always ask.
Yep.
And it feels like progressively we're getting closer to being invited in.
At some point we'll do the podcast from there. We'll probably when we're doing video stuff, I think my house will be the easiest place to do that because I have the most shit.
Yeah, right.
To use. I've got the most like
equipment.
So you've gone from, this is interesting. You've gone from being too paranoid about the state of your house to let us see it. Now all of a sudden you think it's good enough to be on film.
Oh, we're not filming the house. We're recording direct feed footage from hit video games.
Ah, okay. So we're not going to be on camera.
We might not do this for months. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't know if I feel comfortable filming in like what I assume is your wank station with your 7 screens surrounding your lazy boy chair.
It's only 3 screens. I genuinely did. I have 3 monitors on my desk now.
I kind of expected, yeah.
And one, so I wanted to, because it's better for workflow.
Absolutely, it is.
You can have a bunch of fucking shit on different screens.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
I'm a multiple screen motherfucker.
And one of them is a 4x3 thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like an old fashioned LCD thing. And I felt like that'll be cool if I want to play like an old thing.
Yes.
That has like a 4x3 aspect ratio to it. Mm-hmm. It's not 4x3, it's something else. So it's like a little too tall. It's one of those like work monitors that you get at a shitty office job.
Yeah. I sort of understand the fear of having other people in your house though. Like someone dropped off, a friend of mine dropped off a thing for me at my house yesterday while I was out. And my housemate let me know like, oh, Dave brought that thing around. I'm like, great. And then I assume he came in and did this. But when I got home, it was on my bed.
Oh.
And I was kind of like, This wasn't part of the deal. I thought you were just going to drop it on the doorstep and then leave.
But my house,
I didn't want you in here. I didn't want you like in my room.
Yeah.
My house is basically only my bed as well. It's a small plot. And so like...
Is it a small house or a huge bed?
It's a 90 square foot bed. How big are houses? How many square feet are houses?
I don't know.
I've never been good with measurement.
Your bed is 4x3. I know, it's 4x3.
It looks better with older stuff.
Yeah. It hasn't been used in a while. Not a lot of action.
That's very funny. Actually, it squeaks a lot. So, because I'm always jumping on it like Mr. Bean.
It's full of mice.
Yeah.
I had that. I bought a new bed about a year ago. And
mate, we've all got stuff going on.
My old bed was like all the joints were destroyed, and it you can't tell people that without them then jumping in there. Oh, yeah, mate, all right, you're bloody broken your bed. We get it. It's like, no, it's just I've moved it a lot. I've moved house a lot and I've not reassembled it properly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
also a lot.
Mine's
of
just
a
shitty IKEA one because I've fucked on it heaps.
It's a shitty IKEA one. I've got an IKEA bed. IKEA beds are good.
No, but mine's a shitty one. Mine's the cheapest IKEA bed.
I used to
the
have...
The shitty. With an umlaut above the E.
I used to have that. I had that exact bed. It was like $80 and it fell apart within 2 years.
Yeah.
So in many ways, pay for quality.
I really want to get a new bed.
For friendship.
Weren't we at one point, wasn't there talk of us maybe having a mattress company sponsor this podcast? Was that a real thing?
I believe it was.
It's a shame they're not on board, because this sounds like we're doing an ad for them. This would have effortlessly segued into it.
Yeah.
I need a new mattress, actually.
Yeah.
So Rod Quantock, if you're listening.
Wow.
Hit us up.
You think Con the Fruiter was a deep cut?
I would love to get Rod Quantock on this.
He is
a great.
Very funny man.
At a point where there's a lot of heavy, deep cut video game news going on, and we don't really word him up beforehand, and we just see what we just describe games to him and see what he thinks.
Oh, he'd be mad about the amount of oil that's used in disc production.
Yes.
I like Rod Quantock.
Rod Quantock is really great. Yeah. Any international listeners or even our younger local listeners, look up. He's probably have old TV spots and stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know.
He's definitely got his Captain Snooze ads online.
Yes. He basically started stand up in this country, more or less. Very beloved and renowned Australian stand up who in the 90s got the job as the mascot for a betting company.
Yes.
And the character's name was Captain Snooze. And very heavily political in his material.
Yes.
So very funny to have a guy like that playing a character who. Yeah. What was it? He was always asleep in the ads and kids were trying to wake him up or something like that.
I guess. I don't remember. Yeah.
He'd fall onto mattresses.
And he'd wake up because there was a massive sale going on.
He just picked the worst place to sleep.
Yeah.
A bed store, ironically, the most difficult place to sleep.
And this is getting a bit inside baseball, but he has a thing. He had a thing in a show that I saw of his that's one of my favorite things I've ever seen in a comedy show. He was doing this big show that was like a retrospective of his career and everything. And he would start the show by, he's in this room, he has a screen behind him, and the show began and he had the door locked, and the screen behind him was just a camera that was placed in the hallway above the entrance to the room that we're all in. So as he was talking and setting up the show, every now and then behind him on the screen, you would see someone come and try and get into the room and not be able to open the door and then walk off, and then he would jump off stage and run down the hallway and like talk to them as they walk down the hallway and like bring them into the show and make them part of the show.
Oh, wow.
So it meant that his intro went for about 25 minutes. Just were constantly coming into this show late.
Yeah.
But fuck, it was funny.
That's great.
That's funny. He's like the reason I do stand up now.
Is he really?
The first time I ever did a comedy thing in public was, which I guess that's the first time you ever did it at all. If you do it in private.
Yeah. Yeah. He's mucking about with your mates.
it was in like a street festival in Mornington.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the host of it for some reason, or it was like a competition and he was judging
his
it.
Job.
This is when I was like 15 or 16. 15.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't win, but he said I should have won.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And then he like helped me out get some my first gigs and
so
stuff.
So he's to blame.
Yeah, yeah, it's his fault. Send your angry letters to Captain Snooze at... I was doing like a normal letter thing and then put an at symbol in it because I'm so fucking modern.
I didn't even notice.
I used to see him all the time because he would always be out the front of my local shops getting people to sign petitions for he was against the railway that they're building that was going to cut into the Clifton Hill shops.
Right.
And I would go, oh, hey, do you want to come do this podcast that I do? And he would be like, oh, yeah, can you sign my petition? I'm like, oh, nah, we can, we can leave it. I think that railway is going to be real good. Anyway, we have to get into some video game news. We thought we were going to have nothing to talk about this week.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday it was announced by Nintendo that they are releasing this sequel to the... What was the title of it? The Nintendo Mini. Classic NES Mini.
Well, something like that,
I think
yeah.
it's different things in different countries, maybe. Right. I feel like it was the NES Mini here.
I think it was the Nintendo Classic Mini. Okay. I feel like that was it.
Maybe that's right. Yeah.
Well, I think... I think this one is called the Nintendo Classic SNES Mini.
Right.
I think Nintendo Classic is the
yeah, okay.
broad
okay.
line.
Yes.
And then NES Mini and SNES Mini is like the model.
Yeah, okay.
Very... Just put Super Nintendo at the very start of what yes. you're calling it.
Yeah.
So they've announced that, you know, that was the NES Classic Mini sold more than they could possibly produce,
mm-hmm.
perhaps because they only produced about 60 of them, yep. but still.
Yep.
People have been sort of on top of the fact that this one's going to exist for a little bit too, I feel
it
like.
It was weird in the way that, like, after E3 where a lot of stuff had kind of already leaked and whatever,
yep.
that this just kind of came out of nowhere, seemingly. But at the same time, everyone kind of knew it was going to happen
yeah,
anyway, because
yeah.
of course it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But they just kind of just out of nowhere, just went, okay, this is coming.
Mm.
It's out on September 30th. It will include 21 games.
Yes. I think it's 21, so yeah. I'm going to look up the little list of them here.
It's got two controllers.
Two controllers packed in immediately... infinitely more appealing than the NES Mini.
Yes.
Did that only have one controller
yes.
in it?
And it had a 1 meter long cable, and it was a big problem.
It was like the port that was on the bottom of the Wii controller as well, right?
Yeah, which is yes. still the case.
Okay. Is it really? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is if that's still continuing?
Mm.
But that's weird.
What do you mean? The using that same port?
Yeah.
Well, so this is what I heard. This is what someone who works at an EB told me when I was in there recently buying Amiibo.
I'll give you the news if you give me 7 games. They're each worth $1. They came out 2 months ago.
Very good. He was saying, and I haven't been able to get validation on this from any other source.
Mm.
He was saying that the NES Mini, because I was sort of saying something about it and sort of going, oh, yeah, classic weird Nintendo move. Everyone wants this thing and they just make none of them.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's made up of old Wii parts. So because it's running the same emulator that they use on the virtual console.
Right.
And he was sort of saying, so it's not about them going, oh, let's put this thing out and make money. It's them going, we've got a warehouse of all this old shit.
Right.
Let's repurpose it into these. So it was
that
pretty much just them
yeah.
making as many as they could be bothered making with the parts and then getting rid of it. Now
yep,
that being
like
said,
a stew.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Now that being said, I haven't seen that cited anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's weird if that's the case, it's weird that you haven't seen that talked about more because that's really interesting.
You shouldn't have said it was a guy you met at EB. You should have just said it was an anonymous source and then we'd be all over the news.
Oh,
yeah,
not bad.
That's what
not
happened
bad.
On the Weekly Planet. Yeah.
but it was funny because I was in there, yeah, and I've just made this offhand remark about classic Nintendo and then he's gone, no, this is what they do. And I was like, wow, I've met someone who's more defensive about Nintendo than me. This is incredible. This was, if you know, Kate Dennett talked about this. This was upstairs at the Swanston Street EB where it's that little...
Oh, the VIP lounge.
Yeah, that yes. little Nintendo area.
That stands
area.
For very... What's an I word that means depressing?
I am Adam Knox.
A very introverted
person.
Person, yeah.
You can just leave P as person.
Yeah, P.
Yeah,
person.
I should have known better than to go into the closest thing we have to like a, you know, a mothership of Nintendo in Melbourne and just start going, yeah, it's fucked in here, eh? But yeah, so I think if you look at it, I mean, that certainly explains the limited production and the cords, the
yes.
plugs
yeah.
that you were saying.
That makes sense because that stuff emulated the NES stuff really easily.
And they would have produced a shit ton of those parts.
And people would have lost interest in the Wii rapidly.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think I guess it's maybe something to do with the fact that, you know, there are still... Because the Wii remotes still work with the Wii U and there's still
yeah.
them. So I guess it's like...
There's Wii parts in the Wii U too because
yeah.
the Wii
right.
just does Wii... I mean, the Wii U... does Wii stuff in the same way that the Wii did GameCube stuff.
Yeah,
yeah right.
But I think it's with the cords,
in.
It's them and the plugs, it's them sort of also wanting to go, oh, hey, and you can also just plug this into your Wii remote if you still have one for when you play stuff on the virtual console.
That's cool. If they made them Bluetooth that would mean you could use it on the Switch, which is their current thing.
So this is the thing with the SNES one. It's very weird that they have not considered that.
Yeah.
Well, because there's a company called 8-Bit Do.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, I've heard it pronounced 8-Bit Do, but I'm not going to say that because I don't agree that that's the way it's pronounced.
Okay.
Even with the people who own it. Because you know the fucking dude who make GIFs says that they're pronounced Jiv.
Yeah, which is wrong.
And fuck that guy.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of like, it's like he's seen J.K. Rowling coming out and going, Dumbledore.
Rolling.
Now,
it's rolling.
It is rolling, yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, well, who cares?
No, I think it's Rowling.
No. I saw a tweet the other day that was
how
like,
could you possibly fucking tell from a tweet?
No,
from
someone,
a written tweet.
Someone wrote, I always thought it was R hyphen owl hyphen ing, yeah. But it's R O L, like, you know, okay. They spelt it out phonetically.
But what? So this person just tweeted about her name.
Yeah.
And that's now fact as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, but
this person could be fucking.
No, I believe that J.K. Rowling might have said her own name.
This person worked at EB as well, so they definitely know.
Yeah, yeah.
J.K. Rowling is composed entirely of old Wii parts. That's a fact. It's weird that they've not kind of looked ahead with making them Bluetooth compatible. But at the same time, I think it's all part of the nostalgia kick of like, no, they're not wireless. They're corded because that's what this experience was.
I don't think it's
when you were a little kid.
I don't think it's a nostalgia kick thing. I think it's you've just got to buy this and this is what you get. And the next time we release one, you buy that one. And none of it's cross-compatible or anything.
Yeah. So the list of games is, like I said, the NES Mini I never was that interested in because I kind of thought, like, there's nothing in there that I would really, you know, go in on for more than a couple of minutes at a time. Like,
yep.
Huge staying power by today's standards.
I'd bought, like, three re-releases of a bunch of those games too. Like,
right.
I played Super Mario 3 at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
This one, on the other hand, though.
Yeah. Well, so... Oh, and just really quickly, those 8-bit Do controllers, they're like SNES controllers but Bluetooth. And there's also... Oh, right. This is a different company, but I saw this a couple of weeks ago. You know that original Xbox controller?
Mm-hmm.
The big fucking fat one.
Yeah, it took like 8 AA batteries or whatever.
No, it was just corded.
Oh, was it? Right.
And but it's a big boy for big boys with big hands.
Mm-hmm.
And
some company...
You know
what they say about big boys with big hands?
What do they say about them, Ben?
Big Xbox controllers fit perfectly into those large hands.
It's not a useful saying, but they say it all the time. Anyway, there's some company making one of them and it looks great.
Right.
I saw, speaking of accessories, a brand called Nyko who've been kind of at the forefront of making Switch accessories.
Yeah, it's Nike.
They've made a little portable travel dock. So it's just like it's a really tiny, just little block that just has the connector in it. It's
easy
to tuck into a suitcase and stuff.
Yeah, right.
But they've made a Joy-Con grip that has an attachment for a phone to go on it for when this online service launches.
Oh.
That's going to need the app, which. Like, we don't know anything about how that's going to work.
Yeah,
it's very brazen to make a thing for it.
I like that. This is a cup holder for flying cars. It won't work for 700 years, however long that takes.
I kind of hope that part of me kind of hopes that when they announce it, it just completely contradicts everything that they've designed this thing around.
Just even in a small way where like, no, you have to hold it horizontally.
Yeah.
It has to be the other orientation. They go, ah, fuck. We built a whole portrait. Now it's landscape.
I worked with a guy once. He was this older guy and he told me a story that he had all these crazy stories and who knows if this was true.
Mm.
Shout out
to Carl.
He reckoned that him and a mate had heard about some new style of like a shopping trolley that was being made and manufactured overseas.
Okay.
And they were led to believe that this was going to completely replace the old metal ones and you could like, you know, there was a lot of interest in this and this will be, you know, they're better for this reason. So him and his friend, they import all of them at great expense and they sell them to a local supermarket in a small town. And then a group of kids steal a bunch of them one night and set them on fire. I think they were made out of plastic or some material.
Like some biodegradable. Yeah.
That burnt and melted. And so then it was like in the news and it was like, oh, these guys tried to kickstart this new shopping trolley thing. That's, you know, that's fizzled out.
Yeah.
And so then he was like telling us there was a point where, him and his mate both just had a backyard full of shopping trolleys.
Jesus.
I've lived in a house like that. So do we want the list of bloody games that are going to be here?
The list. Mm.
Should I burn through them or should we talk about them as we go through?
Just burn through.
Okay. Contra 3, Donkey Kong Country. Let's talk about them as we go through, I reckon.
Because, well, like, yeah.
Okay. Just general opinions on these games.
Yeah, I'm keen to replay that.
I don't know shit about Contra.
No,
Donkey Kong Country I don't like. You're keen to replay it.
Yeah.
I'd play it if it was on there. I feel like I've played it a bunch, but yeah.
Lucky boy, it is.
Yeah.
Earthbound, never played it. Oh, you liked it, right, Tommy?
I liked the bit that I played of it, yeah. Like with most RPGs, I kind of got to a bit that was just a bit too confusing and took a bit of a break from it and then couldn't remember what was going on.
I played it as emulated and didn't like it.
Right. Final Fantasy VI.
Great.
That's a good game.
Fantastic game. And yeah, really keen to play
that. I'd be keen to go in, never played it. But yeah. Again, there's already a lot of depth, like a lot of really meaty games on here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, compared to the NES thing already, these are all longer and better, which I guess is also just a part of it being the Super Nintendo.
The
original F-Zero.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Great. Never played it.
Sure, it's fine. It doesn't really hold up.
Racing games in that Mode 7 stuff are a little bit like...
It's a little clunky now.
They don't... I mean, yeah, there's a couple more examples on this list, but yeah.
Kirby Superstar, which...
Yep. Great.
I don't think I've ever played, but Kirby's cool.
Yeah. I remember playing that at the time and, yeah, really, like, you know, early on.
It's got
on,
like six games in it, right?
I think so. Right. I mean, there were a bunch on this one, but I think this is the one that's just mostly a platformer.
Okay.
That's just your typical kind of, very classic Kirby platformer. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Kirby's Dream Course. Yeah, I played a fuckload of that on an Emirates flight once.
Oh. Yeah, this is like the racing one. Or it's like golf. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so I played this. This is cool.
Kirby's just, it's like a, what do you call it, isometric point of view. And Kirby's a golf ball.
Great.
Got to get him in the hole.
I used to play a lot of golf and mini golf games. And like, they're just like great time wasters, I guess. You know?
Yeah. You'll like this, I reckon.
Yeah.
A lot of people really think golf is good.
Mm. Yes.
The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
Great.
Sure.
Sick. Yeah. And then, like, some of these are like, yeah, that needed to be on there, but it's good that they are.
Yeah.
Mega Man X.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mega Man's cool. I've only ever played the NES ones a little bit.
I think I played three and liked it. Yeah.
I played two a bunch and I really liked two.
They all kind of blend together for me. Mm. But I'm pretty sure I've played this or one of the Super Nintendo ones at least.
Right.
Secret of Mana. I've never played that. It's an RPG.
Oh, yeah.
And huge. It's like, it's in Japan, I know they're called the Seiken Densetsu.
Right.
Okay? So, and it's the second one of them.
Yeah, right, hugely popular. I had a friend who had this and I would watch him play it at his house. I think it might have been hard to get here. Or so. This is a friend, that cool friend that you had when you were growing up whose dad would do business overseas a lot.
So
he had the American SNES and everything. So it ran better on the TV. They had the American TV. They had the whole kit.
Fuck.
It ran better. The cartridges looked different. And it's that real kind of that being here and not being able to see that stuff on the internet or whatever and being like, oh, my God, it's all different. But I remember watching him play it and going, man, I wish I had this and I could play it myself because it looks like really just anything with a bit of scope to it at that time seemed like 100 times bigger than it actually was.
Yeah. I feel like this is a game that, because I never had a SNES, I feel like I'm going to really, really like it. I feel it's going to be in my wheelhouse.
This is a huge thing for the RPG fan. Mm. There's a lot on here for you.
There is. So I'm going to read one more out and then I'm going to go from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
In reverse order.
All right.
Star Fox.
Great.
Fun game. Mm. I remember liking that a lot. Now from the bottom to the top, now we hear or whatever. Who cares? A popular song. It's a it's a lyric from a popular song.
Yeah.
Yoshi's Island.
Great.
Yep.
Notice how I said that?
Mm.
And
Yoshi.
Rowling.
Worth pointing out because, there's another one on here that we'll get to later, but this is kind of the only sequel that's on this thing. Like, I find that interesting that they've gone...
Isn't the Donkey Kong one a sequel?
Well, that's what I find interesting.
No, Donkey Kong is just the first Donkey Kong Country. And then it's Contra 3 and Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, but it's weird that, you know, I would have thought if they're putting Donkey Kong Country on more than they'd put all three.
Also, the Zelda game is a sequel.
Yeah.
They're all sequels.
Well, I mean, the original and its sequel being on the thing.
Yoshi's Island, I would even say, is less of a sequel to Super Mario World than, like, I know it's Super Mario World 2 technically, but they're so different in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But it is. I just think it's a strange call for them to go. I kind of like that they're doing it.
Yeah.
But the fact that they haven't gone Donkey Kong Country, well, once we're putting one on, well, you've sort of got to put all of them on.
Put two and three
on. I think that's kind of a good move to just keep it simple.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, but I remember liking three a lot more than one.
Right.
So I, but, yeah. Who knows? I don't know if with Rareware, I'm assuming that Nintendo just owns those games now. I don't know if there's any weird licensing shit, because Contra is like Konami.
Yeah.
And so Final Fantasy VI is Square.
Square.
So a bunch of these are other companies' games.
Well,
the other thing
is this era would have been a time where, you know, contracts and licensing all would have been different, because there was no foresight to... Oh, hey, maybe people are going to want to play these in 30 years' time, so we should think about...
People thought the world was ending in 2012.
Yeah.
And 1999.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But I think with Rare, Nintendo owns this because it's Donkey Kong, which is theirs.
Yeah.
But everything else that Rare own... everything else that Rare have made went over to Microsoft.
Sure. Mm. Yeah. Okay, Super Punch-Out.
Mm-hmm. Great. Sure.
Cool. Super Metroid, that's a fucking awesome game.
That's great. I never played it. I'm very excited.
It's real good.
Yeah.
Super Mario World, sick.
Yep.
Super Mario RPG, I've never played that.
Yeah. I've played a bit of it. And again, great inclusion.
Yeah, we had a listener comment on Facebook today saying, like, that is the game for them.
It's really, really good. Yeah. It's cool. The bit it was ages ago and I never got all the way through it, but I do remember just at the time, and it then veered off into... the Paper Mario games and the Mario and Luigi games on the handheld. But I read a thing recently saying there's definitely room for them to just, why don't, instead of having it these kind of like weird themed Marios, it's like just make a Mario RPG again, like without all the other weird stuff around it. But it's great.
Super Mario Kart.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I have history with that. I think
I remember finding that really fun.
Yeah.
I reckon that'll hold up really well by today's standards.
Right.
Cool. Super Castlevania 4.
Awesome. Yeah.
Super Street... I'm so used to saying the word super that I just said it again. But this is just regular Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting.
Yeah, cool.
Street Fighter 2 is good, and it's better than the fucking $100 version they're making you pay for on the Switch.
Yes.
Again, not something I would have thought would be... included,
especially since they have that new version of it now.
And it's such a huge thing that just is its own huge entity. That I don't know how all this stuff works, but I think it's odd that Capcom are prepared to sign that over.
There's a few of these instances, like Final Fantasy. It's like, well, that's very much not a Nintendo property, but also a great game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but Street Fighter's a weird one because that came out on everything. So Nintendo can't.
I feel like the Super Nintendo version of it, though, was like the default one for a bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
For people.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Same with Final Fantasy, is that it was just such a thing that people associated with the Super Nintendo.
Even though I think it was more suited to being on the Mega Drive, because the Mega Drive, you had those six buttons in a row.
Yeah.
So you could do your light, medium and heavy punches all in a row, whereas I remember the Super Nintendo, you had to use the triggers for the heavy punches, which got a bit kind of, I don't know, bit weird, all over the place.
I like a heavy punch. And the last one is Star Fox 2.
All right, I guess we move on.
So this is kind of the weirdest and most interesting thing about this being announced is that Star Fox 2 has never been released.
Yeah.
Not officially.
Yeah.
I mean, it's leaked and there's a ROM of it out.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's never, it's
the,
never.
The alpha, I think, is what I read.
I think it's like a really close to finished version.
Yeah.
It was finished. So the I read it because I remember hearing about this a little bit, but never properly looking into it. So I got sent a video yesterday by Angus Truscott of the gaming historian talking about this. And he's, you know, this obviously was made before this announcement.
Mm.
So it was, ready to go. It was shown off at a bunch of trade shows and stuff, and people really loved it. And it was about to be released, and then the 64 was kind of gaining momentum in anticipation of its launch, and Big Shiggy himself made the call that anything that's 3D, we should just be focusing on the 64 has to be the 3D system, because at the same time the PlayStation and the Saturn are now out, and so anything that's 3D that's on the Super Nintendo is not going to look half as good as what they're doing.
Totally.
He sounds like such a nightmare to work with in some ways. You hear these stories of like, and then fucking Shigeru Miyamoto kicks the door in and changes everything. He goes like, what if this character was a fucking trampoline instead?
Yeah.
But for the most part, I read an article a while ago about all the instances of where people have cited that happening with games that they're making, and he's pretty much always right.
Yes.
But there are like, so... We can talk about this a bit later, but Dinosaur Planet, which turned into Star Fox Adventures, that's pretty much his fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of his fault.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've talked about this briefly before on the show, but yeah, he just walked in and was like, what about if it's like Star Fox instead of this original thing?
Well, because the character looked a bit like a fox, or was a fox even, maybe, but he was like, make it Star Fox. We've got a fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all him, and then like, hey, why don't you put in a couple of Star Foxy elements? And so I think it just kind of ended up, I've never played it, but I think it ended up pissing off kind of everyone who played it and pissing everyone off for different reasons, because it's like, either you want just to be in an RPG or you just want to fly around in space. But so this game,
I want to fly around in space.
So yeah, this was ready to go back in the day. This is 22 years ago that it is now coming out.
That'd be older than many of our listeners, I would say.
Yeah, older than our mental ages, it could be argued.
It's not older than four.
So
I don't know how old a four-year-old is. Do they still go, Bagman?
You don't know how old a four-year-old is.
Well, you know what I mean. Do they go,
I don't think you're four yet.
Do they still gurgle? They can speak, can't they, four-year-olds?
Babies still gurgle, yeah.
No, but they're not. They're toddlers.
Yeah, that's kindergarten age.
No, four-year-olds speak.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good on you, four-year-olds, if you're listening to this.
Having been repeatedly called an egg on the internet by a three-year-old, I can definitely vouch for four-year-olds being able to speak.
Yep.
So this video, they show a lot of the one that I watched that has a ton of footage of the game in it.
What video, what footage was this? Because I watched a video of someone on a trade show floor filming gameplay.
Oh, okay. This is like a direct rip of like when the ROM has come out.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So it basically, I think in 2012 or something, like not that long ago, the ROM kind of leaked, the final build of the game leaked. And they did end up cannibalizing a fair bit of it to use for Lilac Wars or Star Fox 64, as it was known everywhere except Australia, I believe. Mm. And Star Fox 2, looking at it now, it looks great. Like, the color palette that they're using for the sprites and just the overall aesthetic of it, like, even ignoring the kind of the technical side of it, which is obviously very dated, but the look and feel of it, it looks better now than Star Fox 64 does. Like, you look at Star Fox 64, the polygons are all kind of rat shit. It's very foggy. The draw distance is very low.
Well,
this just has this kind of really great kind of 80s kind of pastel-y, purpley kind of color scheme that is just absolutely in my wheelhouse visually of the sort of thing I like. And this, for being older, actually looks more appealing than what Star Fox 64 does now by today's standards.
Well, because the first Star Fox and 64 both had that element to them where they were like, this is a technical showcase for what we can
do with this
machine.
Yeah, right.
So I feel like whenever games do that, for the most part, they tend to the actual sort of art direction side of them tends to take a bit of a backseat.
Right.
Because they're trying to do this like, well, no, we have to make this big show off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this looks like it has a bit more art direction in it. Like,
totally,
this has more things of little sprites of your character kind of popping up and doing all the stuff.
Oh, yeah, your heads-up display stuff.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. And apparently pretty groundbreaking for the day of Super Nintendo, where you can move around the map pretty freely. So you can go to whichever bits you want to go to. This video, I mean, we'll post a link on the Facebook. This video goes into a bit more detail and explains it more clearer. But you basically, you can roam around and go to an area, and then you have to go back to areas because you get word that the people that you're fighting have gone in and fucked it up. So you have to go back and stop them, and you're constantly kind of jumping around on the map.
Mm. It's always the way it bloody happens, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
You think you fix something and someone goes in and fucks it up.
Yeah. So what's really amazing is that this got announced yesterday and none of the team that worked on this game knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So they just wake up and this news is out there that this thing that they made and finished, this was ready to be released. It was absolutely ready to go. 22 years ago is now finally getting a release. There's a guy that I found on Twitter whose name is Darren Cuthbert, who when I was drunk last night, did DM and ask for a comment for this podcast and didn't receive a reply. But he is I believe he might be a British guy.
What a fucking journalist.
I know.
I think he's British. I messaged him when I was drunk. So.
First question, what are you?
Second question, you up?
He's a non-Japanese guy living in Japan. I get the impression he's British, but he worked on this game back in the day.
Right.
And his Twitter feed yesterday was him just going, what the fuck, this is amazing. And people were messaging him and he was kind of sharing. I think he runs a game studio now.
Right.
Him sharing tidbits and stuff. And then at night he was posting photos of himself out with all the original development team.
Oh,
like,
man.
They were all out getting leathered to celebrate this thing. And he's like, it's so weird that people are now all finally going to get to play this thing.
It's
that
fucking
has
crazy.
Just been sitting there.
Because, like, that's at the cool. time, if it had come out, it would have been another in, like, the Nintendo pantheon of, like, fucking great games.
Well, but also it would have come out at the very end of the life cycle of a system. So it may... But it's crazy that they've sat on it for this long and never... They've done that... I mean, they did that with Earthbound and stuff, like... That they've never thrown it up on the virtual console at any point. It's kind of weird.
Isn't
because,
it? Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's like, to me, that I kind of think that that's a selling... I mean, it's the thing that makes me a little bit more interested in the SNES Mini.
Right.
But the SNES Mini doesn't need an exclusive like that
that's
on it to sell.
That's what
it.
I was going to say.
It's kind
yeah.
of a waste of it.
It's already going to be sold. It's already sold out. Like it's.
I mean, we don't know what their plans are for whatever happens with the Switch. Maybe it shows up on that too.
Sure.
At
yeah.
some point.
Well, yeah. This is the thing that it this whole thing speaks to. Well, what's going on with Virtual Console? That's the big question that comes out of this.
Yeah.
Like, does this? Because I kind of keep. I'm still in Switch mode, so it's like anything Nintendo, I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, Kirby's Dream Course, and I'll be able to play that on the... Oh, wait, no, okay, I'll have to sit down in front of my TV.
Yeah,
a meter away from it.
Yeah, yeah. who knows what this points to in terms of the future of their Netflix-y stuff that is still rumoured, but we've speculated way too much and way too frequently on the show about that, so there's really not much more to say about
it. Yeah.
I am interested with this Star Fox thing to see... I mean, it looks cool in the footage I've seen, but realistically, how playable is a game with an SFX chip with Mode 7 graphics in 2017 beyond just being a kind of novelty of this old relic?
I kind of love that idea of like a time capsule game, though.
Yes.
I'm surprised that I haven't heard of that being done deliberately. You remember that fucking movie that like Jeremy Irons was in? It's been made a couple of years. No, it wasn't Jeremy Irons. It was John Malkovich maybe. It was someone like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they were in this movie and they were
someone like that.
I think, dude.
An old English actor. Old American actor.
Casting director. We're looking for a Jeremy Irons / John Malkovich type.
Jeremy Irons and John Malkovich could have played every single role that the other has done.
Being Jeremy Irons?
Yeah. It's the same movie, except a little bit cooler.
What?
Yeah, I'm saying it. I was going to say Jeremy Irons, but I meant John Malkovich.
That's kind of true of every actor with every part. Like
it's one of the key parts of acting. Be able to do anything. But anyway, my point is that he was filming some movie and it wasn't going to be released for 100 years.
Oh, okay. Oh,
they deliberately made it not to be released for 100 years.
Like Wu-Tang making that album that can't be opened until 2050 or something, or whatever it is.
And that movie will disappear by that time, and no one will give a shit about it in 100 years.
Yeah.
But I like that idea of this game showing up beyond its use by date.
It's a cool relic, but it is just so weird to sit on something for that long. Yeah. And I read a thing today, someone speculating on Twitter going, who is it in Nintendo that's made this call? Because there's no way Miyamoto is going, hey, let's get that old Star Fox game out there. There's no way that, that Reggie Fils-Aimé has gone, this is what we got to put on this thing. This guy on Twitter was basically saying, you know what it is? This tweet thread I read was a guy basically going, you know what I think this is? I think one of us is in there. It's some nerd who loves Nintendo who's in there and has risen to the position of being able to go, hey, let's start doing shit like this.
You say that, but they seem to be listening a hell of a lot more than they used to, because like the fucking E3 thing was like, oh, okay, Metroid Prime 4 then. Go on.
Have it.
You know, they're doing all that sort of
but
shit.
But again,
now.
Maybe this is the same person who's just gotten in there and gone, listen, no offense, you old cunts, but it's time to shake things up.
He
and
sits down on a backwards chair with a backwards hat. So if you're standing behind him, it looks like a normal person sitting the right way on a chair.
He's wearing a pair of glasses on the back of his head.
And the name of that man is Slippery Bill Trin.
It does make sense. Like, yeah, there'll be people in their 30s working for Nintendo who are like, I wish I could play Star Fox 2.
This is what I would want if I was a fan on the outside.
Yeah.
It kind of makes business sense why they would have never released it so far. I mean, and so this, it kind of seems like a perfect thing.
I guess with Earthbound,
no interest in this thing other than for that.
Yeah, me too. So this was my last 24 hours. Yesterday, you know, it's fair to say the internet lost its mind.
You know, break the internet.
But it did. There was huge, like, lots of, you know, sites taking pre-orders. Lots of people I knew were posting about it and saying they were jumping in. You pre-ordered one, didn't you?
I'm making that announcement here. I pre-ordered one.
Yes. So,
just on, like, Nox, you said, like, you're interested in this because you haven't played Star Fox 2 and you want to. I never owned a SNES, so there's a shit ton of games that I never played and I want to play.
The crazy thing is that every single one of these games you've had access to in an official legal way as well. For the whole time since, basically. So I think that's why my lack of interest is there because...
Right.
I mean, there's also something...
I don't
want
to fuck around with having to get this thing and, like... hook it up and...
Wow, sounds like a really troubling day for you.
Yeah, it's just such a... There's
something to be said, too, for the fact that it just looks great.
It does look
everything
cool.
They do, the presentation is just 10 out of 10.
I haven't wanted to fuck around with buying 21 games on the Wii Virtual Console.
Yes, like, that's true. And that would probably be more expensive than buying this thing.
Yeah.
It does look very cool, but I just don't want more...
what do you think of this?
But it's a totally valid...
In terms of the aesthetic of it, so the bit where the Wii... the cords plug into that has that Wii connector, there's a little rubber bit that kind of folds over to cover them up, and printed on it is
that what that is?
An image of like what the old connector pins looked like.
Because I thought that was what you plugged it into.
No.
That's kind of
cool. It lifts up, so it's like it looks like from the outside completely scaled down replica right down to what the pins look like.
That's a good
idea. And then you lift that up. And again, it's like if you're going to go down the nostalgia trail, then go all the way.
Yeah, totally. It's like wearing a t-shirt with a tuxedo printed on it.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing you can do, I know.
It is really cool. And like if I was going to get one, it would be to have like a little knick-knack. You know what I mean? And I just am not interested in that aspect of it. But I think that's a totally fair thing to be interested in it for. Mm.
So my whole day yesterday was looking at it and going, look, you're trying to not spend money at the moment. Be a bit smart. You'll get this, you'll plug it in, it'll sit on the shelf. Like, the odds of you using it more than like the day that you get it, just be smart about this.
Yeah, whereas I just got a permanent full-time job. I'm buying everything.
Yeah, but then I was like, just hold out for the virtual car. All this stuff is going to turn up on your Switch and it'll be portable. Just hold out, just wait. You really don't need it. And then getting up today and seeing sites start to go, oh, okay, we're selling out of pre-orders. It just got the better of me. I was like, I don't want to miss out. So I pre-ordered one this morning and I just went, you know what? Yeah, it does. It just looks great. And even if all it is an ornamental thing that sits next to my Nintendo, to my TV that looks like a mini SNES, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's still really cool.
I think that's totally, totally valid.
And you know what? Like in a year, if you actually go, oh, it's just collecting dust, chuck it on eBay, you're going to make a big profit.
If it turns up on the day and I decide that I've made a big mistake, the resale value will be huge.
Yeah.
If you're one of those fucking douchebags who will buy 50 of them from different websites, give me some of that money because I think it's a clever idea. No, it's
people who do
sucks.
That, people who scalp tickets, it's no good.
Ugh.
It's horrible.
I feel bad for the Americans with the way their SNES looked as well.
Yeah, they get
so much uglier. The purple the buttons look like little children's vitamins.
It's all square. We really got the better end of the stick.
Well, we got the Japanese one. That's what the Super Famicom looked like. Yeah.
A friend of mine, Chuck, who is a regular listener to the show and will send me his thoughts on games and gets very angry when I don't read them out on the show.
Yeah.
I was talking to him about it today and he was saying, but I just figure I've pre-ordered one and if the virtual console comes along really soon afterwards, then this will just make a great present for my young nephew as his first video gaming machine. I was like, well, that's kind of a cool way of looking at it too. Like you could gift it on to someone who, you know what? It is, it's priced really well. Like it's $120. Yeah. That's a good price.
That's in Australian dollars as well.
Well, in Australian dollars, that's a really good price point for what this is.
Sure. Like, no, and look, I have no problem. It's just not an object that appeals to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I totally get why.
It wasn't to me until I started getting the real...
Atari's doing some new thing.
Yes!
There was... Oh, my God.
I just remembered that someone posted the video to us like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we never talked about it. So, I watched the video that was sent to us and was posted. Not everywhere. Like, I feel like it wasn't a giant news story.
I feel like most people kind of... had the impression that it was going to be another one of their little fucking flashback consoles.
Yeah. But
what is it?
It was like a teaser trailer, but it seemed to imply that it was some kind of new thing. And maybe it's like a new Atari Classic Mini, but yeah, some people seem to be like, oh, cool, yeah, Atari. But I don't know. I just kind of was like, meh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's from that era of games where not only do they not, like a lot of games from 4 years ago don't hold up.
Yeah.
But it's from so long ago that it's really difficult if you weren't there then to go
beyond
back.
Beyond a kind of a passing novelty. And I think that's what is exciting about the SNES Classic Mini is that it's kind of the first era where there is, and I mean I say this as someone who played those games of that generation, you know, when they came out, so maybe I am saying this with rose-colored glasses, but I think those games, it's where they start to get a bit, games really start to get a bit of an evergreen quality to them, you know, where they do become a little bit more timeless.
It's still pretty hit and miss. Like a lot of the 64 stuff doesn't hold up.
But this is the thing,
and
I think
it does for me as well. It's just a real person-to-person type of thing.
But I think, I kind of think this visually with everything of it too, like the SNES era holds up way better than the 64 era.
I totally agree.
Because people recreate that now. You don't see many fucking PS1 games being remade.
We
made
hit
in
this
that style.
Well, and now we're just at this kind of critical mass where it's like everything looks pretty perfect and it just each new generation is just slightly improving on draw distance and texture numbers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's kind of two generations in there where they don't look appealing to go back to and revisit. Even 8-bit has its own charm to a certain extent. But yeah, and that's what everyone's going, oh, I'm going to hold out for the 64 Classic Mini. I just don't think there's going to be one. I just don't see it.
Because you think that that's going to be on the virtual console and it's going to be remastered.
So, it'd be great if there was and it came with four controllers and had GoldenEye. I want to play GoldenEye is all I'm saying.
But you don't.
No,
it doesn't hold up.
GoldenEye, I don't think, and I don't think they can do, I don't think they have the license to GoldenEye anymore. Because that was for ages, it's like, why isn't this up on the eShop?
But that was
the virtual console.
But it was on the Wii.
Was it?
They released a remastered GoldenEye. Well,
it was like a remade version in a weird way. And
but then,
so,
like the it was the same multiplayer. Like it was.
But I think they just re-licensed the movie license rather than anything to do with the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that actual game.
Because Perfect Dark was on Xbox Live for a bit.
Well, Perfect Dark Rare owns. That's a Rare game, so they own all of that. Which
Perfect Donk. Perfect New Donk City.
Perfect New Donk City. New Donk City, a perfect utopia.
Yeah.
I really hope what this means is this library of games that is on the NES Classic and the SNES Classic end up being part of this subscription. Rumored subscription service virtual console thing on the Switch.
Yeah.
Even if it just they just went, the SNES Classic Mini is a thing that you can buy as a physical thing, or it's also a piece of software that you can download from the eShop and you go into it on your Switch menu and then all these games are in there. And I think even that would suffice.
And what has happened so far is that they've said part of the paid online service will be you get a NES game or a SNES game at some point.
Yeah.
So at least, like what they've
and
put out in there
and it changes from month
is,
to month.
Yeah. But at least they've already said that officially.
They've said that, but they've kind of changed it a couple of times. And so I think they themselves don't even super know what they're doing.
Man, it's
I
not
will
even
say
worth
it would
predicting.
Be, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be very odd for them to go back to all of a sudden charging $15 to download Donkey Kong Country after release. But like, it feels like this is a big step in the way of them starting to go. I just think for them for a long time, the big thing was just not wanting to devalue their product. Like really still go, these still are legacy games that deserve to be treated as such and people are perhaps playing them for the very first time, so they still do have value to them. But it feels like now after two generations at least of having it on the virtual console, they're now starting to go, oh no, these should just be this should just be like a museum. Like these are legacy things that just people should just have access to.
Well, all those Sega ones were released for free on the iPhone recently.
Oh, yeah. And I think that was a huge move.
I haven't even bothered to download one of them, honestly.
Yeah.
And I've seen that people have problems with them because of the level of advertising that's in them, I think.
Oh really?
And also I just have no interest in playing fucking Sonic the Hedgehog, A at all, and B on an iPhone.
Yes, absolutely that.
I played Sonic CD on my iPad when I first got it, and I enjoyed it in spite of how difficult it was to control on an iPad screen.
Right. Yeah.
And I will say, I don't think we've I don't know how much we've talked about it on the show. I am really looking forward to Sonic Mania on the Switch. I think that's perfect Switch game.
Yeah.
The fact that it's been made with people by people who, you know, really have a love and care for the series, like by fans, I think is a very a promising sign.
Yep.
I agree. I will also get that for the Switch, I believe, as well, because I
own because
a Switch
your fidget
now.
Spinner's turned up.
Yeah, my fidget spinner is here, and I've been ignoring it. No, my fidget spinner still hasn't fucking shown up.
Really? What? So the Switch beat
I don't know where
spinner.
It is. Yeah.
But so you, did we talk about this last week? Because what you did is you bought the Switch on eBay from one person, and then you bought the games from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
they haven't shown up yet.
How are you finding that OS, though? Pretty cool, right?
It actually is fucking good. It has some really nice sounds.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
When you click on your little profile picture, it goes...
Yeah. We know.
I just like it a lot.
I think I may have said this last night while we were having beers, but
yeah.
you have a Switch and you don't have any games like everyone else.
Wow. The comedy is in session.
That's somehow worse for you attaching your thing. It's like, this is the second time I'm saying this.
And I'm sober now.
Well, so I have four games on it because I bought some on the shop.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
I bought Snipperclips.
Great.
Played through the whole thing with my brother.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Really short, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about the game? Oh.
Nice. Nice.
He's not that short.
You sucked off your brother. Real nice.
Oh, I didn't even. I just took it as you say my brother was short and fun.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, yeah.
That's where my mind went.
We weren't making dumb sex jokes,
I'm
Tommy.
A little better than you guys in that I like clever sex jokes like the one that I just made.
Oh,
but
yes.
Look, I didn't really like Snipperclips that much.
Yeah, I didn't like it when I played the demo.
Yeah, it just. It's okay, but like none of the puzzles are particularly clever. They're more difficult in the way that the actual way that you control it is kind of annoying.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And
I've had a lot of
too
fun
short.
Playing it with my girlfriend. I still stand
brother,
by...
Brother, girlfriend, what's the difference?
I still stand by what I've said for ages. I just reckon that should have been packed in on the system.
100%.
That should have been 1-2 Switch shouldn't exist. That should have come preloaded on it. And, you know, if all you get out of it is a couple of hours where you go, that was okay, then fine, because that shows off the concept of the Switch better than anything.
100%. If that and 1-2 Switch had been fucking on that thing, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Because I would have gotten things for free.
Fucking 1-2 Switch just like...
No one gives a shit about
who owns it? Like, who would ever buy it?
What an absolute non-event.
Yeah.
I still want to get a copy and play it with my parents and sort of test it out in that capacity. Like,
you'll
I think it would be interesting
be
to talk
able
about,
to find copies of that for $2 soon enough.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
It's not even like people went, you know, it's not even like it was bad enough that people went, it's like,
it's just irrelevant.
It's a talking point how bad it is.
Yeah.
It just was like, oh, cool, you turn it on and you do all this stuff, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. But then
that's one of those fucking
that.
VHS board games, you know? Yeah. It's just a lame piece of shit.
Yeah.
I bought 1-2 Switch. No, I got enough of that out of that Nintendo thing we went to.
Yeah.
I bought a Fast RMX.
Oh, how's that?
Yeah.
I really like it. It's F-Zero.
Yeah.
And you change. So there's an orange and a blue speed up pads, and you've got to switch to the right color as you go through. It's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah,
it's a fun, fast racing game thing. But
I think it's a cooking simulator.
Well, I thought that it wasn't going to be worth paying for.
I like it. I think it's okay. A bit of fun.
Yeah, I get dubious of anything that's sort of too obviously a clone
rip-off?
Of something.
Yeah.
And so I just ignored it. And in the last couple of months, more and more and more, I've heard people going, this game is really good. Like, you should.
It's pretty good. It's
fun.
Not amazing. It's it's like a fun sort of racing game.
Mm.
There's none of the sort of combat element to it of like a Wipeout. And
or,
it doesn't
or a Mario Kart. Perhaps.
Or a Mario Kart. Or. You don't
Crash
even
team
really
racing.
Bump each other like F-Zero. It's just very much straight up racing.
It's like a Formula One game, kind of.
Yeah.
I've heard it's good. I don't know if I'll ever
bother
to.
It's like a Formula One
game.
In
that you just go really fast and you don't really hit each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, ideally, but I think that's quite difficult to do in Formula One.
What's Formula One?
I don't know that I'll ever come around to it. It seemed like because it was out, it came out day one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if
it's a Wii U game, basically.
Right. So if you were desperate and wanting something to fill the gap before Mario Kart, but I just don't see myself kind
Guess why I got it.
Yeah. He's desperate and he's looking to fill that gap.
I got Snake Pass.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yes.
It's which okay. they just patched yeah. and I think are bringing out DLC for right. pretty soon.
That's cool. The control, like, it's, again, it's just like, I don't hate it. Yeah. It's a real middle sort of a thing where, yeah. like, the controls are just a bit awkward enough that it kind of takes some of the fun out of it. Right. And also it starts to really quickly repeat itself a bit, you know?
Yeah. Like,
you get really into the habit of what you're doing with it quickly enough that right. it gets uninteresting.
I really enjoyed it when I got it, and I sort of got up to a bit that I was finding it very hard to get past because of the controls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I every couple of weeks I go, oh, the deluxe con the fruiterer. I go, I'll open this up again and have another go.
Yep.
And I just stall on the same bit. I have yeah. a go yeah, for right. half an hour and stall on the same bit and go. But, you know, eventually I'll get past that and probably then find the next, like, I'll do the next big chunk pretty easily. That's right. the way these things kind of always work.
It kind of isn't like that, weirdly, though, because it's just the exact same task again and again right. for the most part. Like, it's not great, but it's fun. And, like, it's really nice looking. Like, mm-hmm. I like that there's buttons to change your facial expression.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
That's right. nice.
There's actually been a bit of a thing where they've, I think one of the things that's in the patch is making it a little easier to handle.
Right.
And the same thing, a few of these have happened this week where the same thing has happened with Tumble Seed,
oh,
where
yeah.
I talked about loving the feel and the look of that and everything, but just being so bad at it because it is yeah. it is legitimately very, very hard.
Yeah.
And they've patched that to make it a little less prohibitive. Yeah, and a little easier. And then there's sort of been, I've seen a few outlets this week writing about, well, you know, you've done your review and then they kind of very fundamentally change the game with this DLC which is going to change your score, but you know, it's hard enough to keep up with all the new stuff. So yeah. should your obligation, because your review now does sort of doesn't make sense because it's talking about a version of the game
yep.
that doesn't exist. Should you have to go back and commit yourself to playing it, you know, patched in? It is yes. kind of an interesting
I think if you're a paid probably, games journalist, yeah.
Sure, if that's your job,
yeah.
well then yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
glad we solved that.
Oh, boo-hoo, I've got too much stuff to play.
Yeah.
Well, now my house has an extension to it.
Well, you got another game there?
One more.
A fourth one?
I bought a Shantae Half Genie here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Shantae.
No, that's the name. I said it correctly. It's called Shantae Hara 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 Jesus.
Harrods.
Shantae Half Genie Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feet Ja Rule.
It's about a little sexy cartoon genie.
Yeah.
It's really weird because they're always dancing around all the characters and they're all drawn just boobs are popping and stuff.
Right. Boobs are plenty.
But it's like this really cartoony kitty vibe as well. It's strange.
I didn't buy it because it looks like a cheap Facebook game, if that makes sense. Like
I remember Shantae being on the.
We keep kicking this table.
Yeah.
Me and Ben have kicked this table that all the recording equipment is on about six times.
I believe it was on the Game Boy Advance, maybe.
Okay.
But I never played them, but I was always really interested in because it was like. There was something about it that was. It was kind of mimicking a style of game that hadn't been around for a while, or it was made by a developer that hadn't done stuff for a while.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this character's back, and I always thought those games looked really cool.
Right.
So I kind of don't have, like, I've got a bit of previous attachment to it, and I've only played the first couple of levels, but I liked what was there. The animation's good. The music is really
great. I like it a lot. The music's really cool. It looks nice. It's like a half Metroid, half Mega Man sort of thing.
Oh, right, okay.
It's like a little silly and goofy. It's not, and it's actually quite fun to play. So you like, you're a genie in the way that you transform by dancing. So you turn into like a crab or an elephant or something to get into different areas. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty fun.
Yeah,
it's charming. It's got a good style to it.
Yeah, it's the one I've played the most out of any of them.
Oh, really?
So far.
Okay, yeah.
I only played about two levels while I was away, and I like it. And like Cave Story is up on the US eStore, which I think looks great. And I'm tempted to get my one thing with the Switch at the moment is it's a little bit like, is all I'm going to do now just play 2D platformers?
Yeah. Right,
like that's kind of the bulk of indies that come out a 2D platformer. And don't get me wrong, I love a 2D platformer, but
look,
and it also lucky we got Mario Kart. I'm loving Arms. Like I'm. I'm back on my bullshit with Zelda in a big way.
Yeah, yeah.
Up until 3 a.m. each night, sitting in bed trying to knock off all those shrines.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've sort of had to put a bit of a. I want Cave Story, but I'm also like, just hold off on the side scrollers for a little bit.
Yeah. I've been fucking thinking about buying Zelda again.
To get it on the Switch.
The absolute madman.
Because I just went ahead and bought that fucking DLC pass
on the Wii U
straight away. And if I hadn't have done that, I think I already have that.
But that's also not, like, you don't have that at your home, do you?
The Wii U? Yeah, no, I do. Yeah.
You do, right? Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's not in my bed.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But technically it could be. I could play it on that Wii U fucking pad if I wanted to.
Why don't you sell the Wii U? And then you can sort of justify to yourself buying Zelda, it.
There's a bunch of other stuff on there that I want to get
Mario
through.
Maker, I guess, is not on the Switch.
But at some point, everything will be on the Switch, it looks like. Yeah. Anyway, it's really cool. The Switch is like a piece of fucking hardware is great.
Oh, yeah.
I hear that it's a console that you can take anywhere. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I have a story for you. I took it everywhere. I have it right now. No, I don't.
No.
I've taken it some places.
You could have just lied. None of the listeners would know.
I took it over the fucking moon. I took it to the moon the other day and it worked.
Well, I believe that.
I took it to Egypt and Timbuktu, two places that don't.
I'm going to assume that you're doing this stupid voice.
I took it to Atlantis.
Were you going
to
say I took it to Egypt and Timbuktu, two places that don't exist?
No, I was going to say two places that I've equivocated to be the same level of mythical.
Yeah.
But Timbuktu also exists in
the same
way.
It's a place in Africa, yes.
Imagine playing a video game in Egypt.
I'm going to in October.
Before I forget, I wanted to say...
Are you going to Egypt in October?
Yeah.
Are you really?
To play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
They're having a thing.
We're going to Egypt in our minds.
Yeah.
You were
Carmen.
You're a fucking idiot.
Tommy, you were saying that you're getting kind of like jack of all the 2D platformers on the Switch. Like, that's all there really is.
I was just saying that.
Yeah. To be fair, like on Steam, like the biggest, you know, like video games platform there is... Most of them are shitty 2D platformers.
Yeah,
it's just that there's a million of them instead of
there's
seven.
There's a lot of stuff like that at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what? Oh, the other thing, I looked at Voez.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
It's on the Switch store, Voez. So it also has a version on the phone.
Yes.
For free, so I got that instead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun but bad. It's like a rhythm game.
Oh, yeah, another one you're talking
about. So it's all these Japanese songs and it's interesting in the way that you touch the bits when you're meant to and never before. You never touch them before you're meant to.
Yes.
And it kind of moves around the screen in an interesting way, but I don't particularly like the music that's in it.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Switch is cool. We've talked about Nintendo enough, I feel like.
Yeah.
We should probably move on for the rest of the duration of this podcast's life.
Well, there's not much more to say. And also, it's not really our fault that none of the other companies have bought out anything worth talking about in the last week. Is that fair?
Yeah. Nox, you have done some other stuff, though.
Oh, fuck, I have too, yeah.
Yeah.
I fucked around with the VR thing. We've got a bit more.
Yes.
I played Batman Arkham
Experience
VR.
VR, isn't it? Yeah.
I felt fucking cool being Batman.
Okay, cool,
I gotta be honest. Like, you start it up and within a few seconds you're looking at yourself, you put the cowl on.
Yes, wear the cowl. Hashtag wear the cowl.
And you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're Batman, and when you move your head, he moves his head.
Yeah, okay.
And you go, that's fucking cool.
Yep. I gotta say,
And then you dance a little weird. You put your hands limp and you do the Macarena and shit.
Yeah, great.
And...
I gotta say, I'm a bit disappointed that I didn't know about this already, which you were meant to get on social media and use the hashtag wear the cowl to let us know that you'd done it. I don't want to be surprised by it like this. Yeah.
I was so much in the character of Bruce Wayne, who is Batman, that I didn't want anyone to know
right.
that I was Batman. It's cool. Good. It's real short.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
And kind of nothing-y
right.
as well. Like, it's the same as every VR game that I have a problem with.
Right.
Where it's this short thing that kind of doesn't do much more than go like, isn't this fucking cool?
Right.
There's Gotham down there. And yeah, it's really cool to stand on the edge of a building and think you're Batman.
How long did you play it for and how long does it go for?
I played
it. And how long is your penis?
I'll answer them in an order that you might not expect. So
like
try and figure this
Frasier
out.
Right now.
Half an hour.
Yes.
19 inches. and
but how long
4 inches.
Yes, okay, excellent.
Great. I like the idea now, anytime someone asks you the length of your cock, you just say half an hour.
Yeah.
19 inches is scarily big. That was a dumb number to pick.
Yep.
About seven. Anyway, but the point of it is that, like, yeah, it's about half an hour to 40 minutes.
Fuck, that's short.
It's short as fuck.
Yeah.
And then you go back through it again to look for Riddler trophies.
Right. How much does it cost?
It was $30.
That's way too much.
Yeah, that's
40
too much.
Experience.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And it's a cool 30 minutes or 40 minutes.
$40 for an episode of Gilmore Girls. I mean, that's what it's like they're doing.
Yeah.
What? Oh, like
an episode of Gilmore Girls, 40 minutes. Paying $40 for 40 minutes.
Like, even, like, sometimes you measure a video game's value against, like, a movie to justify certain games,
yeah,
which are short. But that falls short of that even. Like, that's...
If you go back through it, the Riddler trophies take a while to get, but it's also not particularly fun.
And it's not, like, the cohesive, like, experience. Like, Firewatch is... Of what, like 6 hours?
Yeah. That's the biggest problem with it, and again, with a lot of VR stuff. So the other stuff, I messed around with Job Simulator for a bit.
Right.
That's kind of cool, but again,
that
just
must
like,
have scared the fuck out of you.
I'm happy to simulate.
You just see Knox with the headset on, he's like screaming. Oh, he must be playing Resident Evil. I hear it's horrific. Him at a desk.
You've got to do it. You've got responsibilities. No.
What is Job Simulator?
So you're in like a museum in the future and it's all computers have taken over the world and they're doing an approximation of what they think human jobs are like.
Oh.
And so there's this sort of funny thing where it's like, hello, fellow coworker, can you please help me with business?
Okay.
And like that sort of thing.
But what are you doing? Like picking up a keyboard and handing it to someone?
Exactly. So they go like
you do in an office job.
Yeah.
So there's one where you're a mechanic and a car drives in and it's you got to charge them too much and replace their headlight of fluid.
Oh.
Bro, and I got a show you would love. It's called Black Mirror.
Oh.
Man, it's so cool.
It's kind of funny and it's kind of fun, but it's not particularly anything.
Sure.
Back to that Batman thing being short. I mean, I don't want to play anything in VR for too long. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
That it's a bit full on and intense. But yeah, there's a fine line between there's a happy medium between me saying that and something lasting for half an hour.
Yeah.
Like
so Static, the game I played a few weeks ago that I think I talked about on this, was about 2 hours, two and a half even.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that and I paid about the same for that and happy with it.
And you mentioned that you kind of wish that you'd played Resident Evil for the first time in VR.
Yeah, but I don't know if I agree with that anymore because I messed around. Because I bought a bunch of stuff when it was all on sale.
Yeah.
So I had some stuff to burn through. Drive Club VR.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool to just like see these cars being the correct size and drive around. That was cool.
Yeah, right.
The correct size.
Mm-hmm.
Car size.
Get
you
a load of Brocky over here.
But, you know, it's Drive Club. It's an okay racing game. So
yeah.
At some point, the VR thing wears off and you go, this is just a driving game that I wouldn't have played if it was on TV.
And like, you know what? Like, I fucking hate playing driving games in first person view.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, you don't have to. You can do
really?
It in third person and just look your head around.
Well, maybe I'd like that. I don't know. I think that I'm maybe the exception in that I loved being in VR. Like, I really enjoyed being in it for a long period of time. I told you guys, I watched a movie in it. Like, I don't have any problems.
That's right.
I don't have any problems with the headset or that
weirdest
stuff.
Thing. By the way, that's not you in VR. That's you wearing a headset and watching a movie on this dumbass screen that's attached to your face.
Yeah. But like, I would have long sessions playing it and being like,
all right, Sting, come on.
What?
He loves the long VR sessions.
Okay, so tantric VR.
Yes.
Where you just wait 3 hours before you put the headset on. No, it's on and then you just don't turn the PlayStation on.
I know what you is that VR is fine, but the experiences in it aren't particularly interesting yet.
I just didn't buy any games before I gave it to Tommy. So I'm very keen to, actually go in for a longer period of time.
I'm the same. I did was, when I had it was...
I'll give you my login thing so you can download all of these ones.
Yeah, cool.
You're just a... We fucking brought him down from the inside.
Give me a couple $100 and I'll do it.
Oh.
We
I fucking got you.
All I did was just play the demo stuff with my housemate and my girlfriend, and that was really fun. But I didn't really spend, because I had it during the comedy festival, I didn't really spend any time actually. And also, You know, I'm in a share. I'm not like you guys. I'm in a share house.
Yeah.
I'm fucking terrified of having this thing on.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the two people I live with walking past and seeing me in it and sneaking up on me and
yeah, turkey slapping you,
tweaking my little nipples without my permission. I'm fucking terrified.
Yeah. So then the other thing I played was Star Trek Bridge Commander.
Oh, okay.
I think it's called that.
Yeah.
And
that's the one that William Wallace himself, David Callan, was talking about. Right?
yes, that's right. I only played it for about 10 minutes because the way the camera and the stuff was set up was that I couldn't really touch the screen because it was just my legs. And so I just have to whack my legs with the controller.
What? So,
like, I just couldn't get it set up right.
Okay.
Because you have to sit in a chair.
Yes.
And you're meant to be sitting at
the hardest thing to set up in a one-bedroom living.
Edit out all the stuff.
You need a fuckload of space. And so if your hand touches the wall, you fucking smack your fist against the wall.
Edit out all of the stuff. Batman might have punched a wall. Edit out all of the stuff where we set up that you're talking about being in VR. And this is the best conversation.
I just couldn't. And that was a kind of a problem with a couple of them where I didn't have the space.
Okay.
And this wasn't even about space because you're just meant to be sitting still.
I think Star Trek is about space.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't know. I think it's about human relationships. And the bonds that we've
yeah.
all,
all right. Yeah. The idea of colonialism and what that has impact on, you know, new peoples, new species. Yeah.
It's like Parks and Rec in space.
Yeah.
It's about fucking hot aliens.
Yeah,
wow.
Bro.
Yeah. J-Law. That's a cool name. Fuck, I hated that last Star Trek movie. Fucking Sabotage.
I thought you were talking about Jennifer Lawrence.
That's why the cat. No, there's a character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's named J-Law because they wanted a Jennifer Lawrence type.
Right.
And so they called her J-Law in the script as a shorthand.
Sure, they didn't want a Jeremy Irons type?
Same thing. All actors are interchangeable.
I was going for a bit of a Malkovich vibe, if anything.
Same thing. But so, yeah, I couldn't get it set up right. And that's been a running theme with the VR stuff is that, like, you move your hand in front of your face because I bought those Move controllers.
Yeah, yeah.
You move your hand in front of your face when you're being the bat.
Yep.
And
sounds like you're being a bit of a dumb cat.
But it the camera can't detect the VR thing anymore and you've got to move your hand there.
Yeah, right.
And then so the world fucking jumps at you. It just leaps at you because it
life
suddenly doesn't have a point. Man, and it don't stop coming.
You can't stop coming, the rapper.
It don't stop coming.
You can't stop him.
Coming.
We've had some beers before recording this one.
Forget how to pronounce the word cum. Com. I mean, I'm going to com over to your house.
Anyway.
Sorry.
VR is not worth it yet.
Okay.
Is my point of this.
We've said this. Like, it basically...
But now it's been definitively said.
And then we'll say it again in 2 weeks.
We've come to the conclusion.
We'll say it again in 2 weeks when Ben has it for a bit. And then we'll say it 2 weeks after that when I have it for a bit.
No, I'm going to say the opposite. I'm gonna love
it's
it.
It's essential.
And then we have to reevaluate. Yeah.
Any more thoughts? I guess we got to think about wrapping this thing up.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Hey, like I said, you know, big Nintendo focus on this episode.
Yes.
Hey,
apologies.
I'm not complaining. But like I said... You know what? We're in one of those weird patches
very
where
quiet
kind
week,
of a
yeah.
bunch of stuff not happening. Yep. Next week, we have some big things to look forward to. The Zelda DLC is out on Friday. Mm-hmm. I personally am very excited about that.
Yep.
As well as the Crash Bandicoot remaster.
Yes.
Which I don't know what you guys' plans are, but I am going to go in.
I'm going to play it, definitely. Yeah,
cool. Because I never played
I think I'm going to be the control group.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're going to play... You're going to actually play the originals, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go back. I think I've still got the original Crash Bandicoots and I'm going to go fucking dig them out.
Great.
And,
great.
We can compare and contrast. And also Wipeout, that came out a little bit ago, but we'll have a...
I've got it, but I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting to see. I kind of can't tell how this one is going to fall in terms of like critical consensus and whether people give a fuck about Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Whether it... You know, people who have fondness for it, whether they enjoy replaying it, whether it holds up to someone who's never played it, it does feel a little bit like they wedged it into... Not wedged it in, it was done really well, but the fact that you play it in Uncharted, that we all kind of went, oh, wow, this is so cool. And they kind of really sort of went... You know what it feels a bit like? Remember when Hey Hey came back? Off the back of just having a Facebook fan page that had a lot of likes?
Yeah.
But not even that. It had like 6,000 likes, which in at Channel 9 they thought was massive and they were like, this is it. The people have spoken. We've got to bring it back.
Yeah.
And then they did those reunion shows and everyone went, no, we didn't want this.
No.
Like, we liked the page because it reminded us of being 12.
Yeah,
we
it was
sit
ironic.
Down and watch this.
Yeah.
Why does Red keep talking about opium?
Wow.
All right, guys. So you can find all of our past episodes, and we're going to start slowly putting stuff up onto our spanking new website,
yes,
filthycasuals.com.au. You can also find the links to all our socials and our email address if you want to send us questions, cancelled games or rumoured long never released games is something we could definitely talk about in more detail.
Totally.
In the future. Games that you think have maybe been unfairly excluded from the SNES Mini. Mm. That's something we didn't get into. I know there's already people going, this is what should be on there and isn't.
Yeah. Games that should be on the SNES Mini Classic.
Hey guys, like, comment, and subscribe at the end of this video.
Oh, I'll just mention, I've bought ARMS and played ARMS. If you're someone who has been holding out just because you haven't really been swayed by the critical consensus, I'll probably talk about that quite a bit more next week. I just haven't played it heaps yet. But
same if my copy shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so... Wait, did you like it or don't you like it?
I'm going to tell you next week.
Oh, you're going to tell us next week.
Yeah, a bit of sizzle.
I just want to know if my gaslighting of you has worked or not. Okay, so thanks very much for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. Drop us a line if you have anything to say. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Please come back next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.